My name is Nathan Fowler. I've had the privilege of being part of the preaching team, going to the preaching team meetings for the last several months, and it's been a great experience for me, learning a lot, and it's my honor to speak to you this morning. Incentives are all around us. Governments use them. Companies use them. Parents use them. Even God uses them. And incentives are used to encourage certain behaviors and to discourage other behaviors. Incentives are powerful motivators. Lincoln Electric, a company that makes welding equipment, changed their pay structure. To try to increase their productivity. So they began paying their manufacturing employees, instead of an hourly wage, they paid them based on how much equipment they made, paying them by the piece. And they saw a huge increase in productivity. But then they extended the program a little too far. They began paying secretaries, instead of an hourly wage, based on keystrokes. And that new incentive system ended shortly thereafter when the management found a secretary who spent her entire lunch break typing furiously a single key over and over again. Incentives are powerful motivators. The pay incentive encouraged the manufacturing employees to work harder, and it encouraged the secretary to cheat the company. In her case, the desire for a little extra money won out over doing what was right. Maybe if she thought that she would get caught or she would lose her job, she wouldn't have done what she did. But like the secretary, sometimes we get pulled in different directions. We want to obey God. We want to do the right thing. But sometimes obedience is difficult. As a teen, perhaps I think that the curfew my parents have set for me is a little too early. My friend doesn't get off work until late, and if I don't stay out later, I won't be able to hang out with them at all. Besides, I can probably get away with it. Or as a business person, perhaps some papers come across my desk that show that my boss has been embezzling money. This is the guy who hired me. He's an old friend. And if I speak up, I could lose my job. I could lose his friendship. Perhaps as a wife, my husband is gone traveling for work all the time. And while he's taking clients out to fancy dinners, I'm stuck at home taking care of the kids, running mom's shuttle service. When he is home, it just feels like we're roommates. We just have our own separate areas, our own separate lives. So I think maybe if we get a divorce, it would make my life easier. I'd still get child support, the kids would still be taken care of, but I'd have more freedom. I don't know what kind of situation you're facing or what you will face. I don't know what is pulling you in different directions. But I do know that sometimes obedience is difficult. It seems like in order to obey, we have to give up so much to get so little. One of the great motivators that God gives for obedience is that obedience brings his reward. And the value of the reward far exceeds the cost of obedience. Why should we obey him even when it's difficult? Because obedience brings God's blessing. But how is that true? We're going to see how that was true for Israel, that obedience brought God's blessing. We'll see how it's true for us. And then we'll see what responding to the right incentives might look like in our lives. If you would, turn with me to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. God blessed Israel's obedience based on his relationship with them under the Mosaic Covenant. You can see the blessings for their obedience in Leviticus chapter 26 and Deuteronomy chapter 28. As Israel demonstrated their faithfulness to the covenant, God would also be faithful to the covenant. Israel demonstrated their covenant loyalty through obedience, faith and obedience. And God demonstrated his faithfulness to the covenant by granting them fertility, peace, and prosperity in the land. God would keep them in the promised land. He'd bless their families, their animals, their crops. They would have plenty to eat, and there would be peace. Look for those two sides of covenant faithfulness in Proverbs 3, 1 through 10, as we read. Starting verse 1. My child, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For they will provide a long and full life, and they will add well-being to you. Do not let truth and mercy leave you. Bind them around your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and people. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not rely on your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways, and he will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Fear the Lord. Turn away from evil. This will bring healing to your body and refreshment to your inner self. Honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first fruit of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled completely, and your vats will overflow with new wine. So as Israel obeyed, they could anticipate God's blessing. Notice the typical pattern in these verses is a call to trust and obedience in the odd-numbered verses, and the result of obedience in the even-numbered verses. So as Israel was faithful, God would be faithful. You can see the result or reason for obedience in the even-numbered verses. It normally begins with a connecting word like a for, an and, or a then. So that as Israel was faithful, God too would be faithful in blessing them. What more could Israel want? Their world was quite different from ours. They didn't have access to the medicine that we have. They didn't have the physical security that we have. They didn't have the food security that we have. If it didn't rain, there would be no food. Enemies could sweep through at any moment. Disease could wipe out entire villages. In that world, the good and gracious God promised peace and stability as they obeyed. So what exactly could Israel expect? Let's take a closer look at those even-numbered verses. As they obeyed, and from verse 1, their obedience would lead to a long and full life. And they will add well-being to you. They would add peace to you. As Israel obeyed, they could expect quantity of life, length of days, and quality of life, abundant life, and fellowship with God, the eternal God, as they obeyed. In verse 4, their obedience would bring favor with God and people. As they obeyed, they would develop a relationship for wise, a reputation for wise living. So, and that reputation would precede them, leading to favor in the eyes of God and others. As they trusted and obeyed and with all their heart and in all their ways, God would make their paths straight. The word for straight here has two meanings in Hebrew. It can mean straight as a like not crooked, not twisting, a path that's straight, a path that's smooth, a path free from obstacles. And it can also mean straight in the sense of morally upright, righteous. So as Israel trusted with all their heart, as they obeyed, acknowledged God in all their ways, God would go before them to smooth the path, to remove obstacles. And he would also lead them in righteousness. Verse 7 and verse 8, as they obey in verse 7, this will bring healing to your body and refreshment to your inner self. Healing to your body is literally healing to your navel, and refreshment to your inner self is drink to your bones. So it's a poetic picture here of from the inside out, complete health, physically, emotionally, spiritually, complete holistic health as they obeyed. And as they honored the Lord with their wealth, their barns would be filled completely, and their vats would overflow with new wine. They would have abundant crops. So abundant, in fact, the new wine is the juice from the grapes that comes out even before the grapes are pressed. You know, they would be in the wine press, they'd be trampled, the juice would flow down into the vats down below. The new wine was the juice that came out even before the grapes were pressed. So it's an abundant, abundant blessing. Peace, long, full lives, favor, straight paths, health, abundant food. As Israel obeyed, they could expect God's blessing. As Christians, can we expect those same things? Abundant lives, favor with God and people, straight paths, health and prosperity? Yes. But how so? In what way is that true? In what way does our obedience bring God's blessing? God often works through practical ways to reward obedience. Health, wealth, favor, long life, they're often the practical consequences of wise living. We would expect that the sober person, not the drunkard, would have a longer life, a healthier life. We would expect that the cool-tempered person, not the hothead, would have healthier relationships, a healthier marriage. We would expect that the hard-working person, not the sluggard, would be wealthier. All the ways obeying God and wise living, watching our words, being faithful to our spouse, spending our money wisely, heeding wise advice, all of those things make for smooth paths and a healthy, enjoyable life. So as you pursue God, obeying Him, seeking wisdom, you can anticipate a longer, healthier, more prosperous life. Sometimes God may work through practical means. Sometimes He may work directly. Perhaps in retrospect, you've seen God's hand at work to bring blessing, even though you weren't directly involved necessarily. It wasn't your own effort. A few summers back, right after Sarita and I got married, we decided we would start tackling my student loans from college. Since we were still in grad school, we didn't have to pay them back yet, but they were still charging us interest, which we had to pay, and we decided it'd be better if we could go ahead and knock them out. Although some financial counselors might have advised us to stop giving while we were trying to pay down the debt, we decided that's not what we wanted to do. And I say this not to brag on us, but because of what happened next. Sarita and I met for dinner, and it just so happened that night that we took separate cars. As we were eating dinner, it started hailing. Huge chunks of ice falling from the skies. So I was sitting there fretting, figuring out what I was going to do. So I was going to run to the car. If I did, the ice would have knocked me out. I think this was the same storm the Yarboroughs were caught in. So I remembered that our cars had insurance. They were going to be covered. And so through a series of what seemed to be just chance random happenings, having two cars there, being out at dinner, it didn't hail where we lived. It was only, which was just a few miles away. It was just where we were. Through these seemingly random encounters, the hail landed on our car, and it ended up being a check in our pocket from the insurance company. We decided that it would be better not to repair just the cosmetic damage and pay down my student loans. So does God reward obedience? Does He grant favor, smooth paths, even health and wealth? I'm convinced that He does. But sometimes Proverbs recognizes that the innocent suffer and the wicked prosper. People still get sick. The wise, righteous family might be the poorest family on the block. How many godly people do you know who died young? Job may have been restored, but his children, way back at the beginning of that book, his children still died. Abel, righteous Abel, the son of Adam and Eve, was murdered. How is it that God rewards obedience? The blessings for obedience aren't necessarily immediate. Proverbs tends to focus on the eventual results of obedience. Proverbs 24:16 says, although a righteous person may fall seven times, it's like the 10 count, you're out, you're knocked out. Although a righteous person may fall seven times, he gets up again. But the wicked will be brought down by calamity. With the benefit of the later revelation of Scripture, we as Christians have a better sense of what is to come. We have hope of eternal life, eternal salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Even if we suffer from sickness, even if we suffer in poverty, even as our bodies grow weak as we grow old, even if we suffer persecution or martyrdom, we know that one day we will be with our Lord in resurrected bodies. I know of no better picture of complete physical, spiritual, emotional health than being in the presence of our Lord in a glorified body. So as we think about the way that rewards might turn it, or obedience might lead to rewards in our life, I'd like to give a word of caution. Our obedience does not obligate God to bless us with health and wealth in this life. I have no doubt that God can and does heal people all the time, whether through medicine or directly. I have no doubt that he provides for his people. But setting our hope on material and physical prosperity runs counter to Scripture and Christian history. Health and wealth are not guarantees for us in this life. Christ died an unjust death in poverty. Paul was afflicted throughout his life with a physical ailment, and he said he learned to be content in poverty and in plenty. What is certain is that God is faithful. We can trust that God rewards obedience, even if we don't dictate the terms or the timing of that reward, of his blessing. Faith and obedience are not ways of twisting God's arm to bless us. Our obedience is not the coin we place in the vending machine that dispenses God's blessing. So we hold the rationality and the mystery of the way God works in the world in tension. We can have complete confidence that God rewards obedience without knowing exactly how or when he will do it. So if God does reward our obedience, perhaps practically, perhaps directly, perhaps today in this life, perhaps next year, perhaps in eternity, we can obey him in anticipation of his blessing. You may find that you're able to do what is right because it is right. Perhaps if you were in that second secretary situation, maybe you wouldn't have spent your lunch break typing away. And it's true, we should do the right thing because it's the right thing to do. But God gives us an extra reason, an additional reason to obey. In his goodness and his graciousness, he rewards our obedience. Let that promise of God's blessing push you, pull you in the right direction. As a teenager coming into your own identity, navigating a changing relationship with your parents, making decisions, taking responsibility, sometimes it's difficult to do the right thing. When pleasure, your money, your friends pull you away from obeying your parents, from obeying God, choose to obey in anticipation of that future blessing. As a student, paying tuition, balancing classes, managing deadlines, sometimes it might be easy to take a shortcut on an assignment, to read the clip notes instead of the full book like you're supposed to cheat on an exam, to lie to a teacher or professor. Sometimes obedience is difficult. Sometimes it will cost you. But the reward for obedience always makes up for the cost of obedience. Obey God in anticipation of his blessing. As an employee, dealing with clients, coworkers, bosses, handling money, hiring, firing, traveling for work, working from home, there are lots of temptations, lots of reasons you might come up with that you shouldn't obey. But we know that God is good, that he is gracious, that he rewards obedience. Obey him in anticipation of his blessing. As a single person, navigating a world full of couples, living on one income, perhaps looking for a spouse, perhaps not, don't let loneliness, don't let doubt keep you from obeying God. Obey him in anticipation of his blessing. As a husband or a wife, balancing responsibilities, paying the bills, maybe taking care of the kids, busyness, other things, temptations can make obedience difficult. But obedience is always worthwhile. We can obey because it's the right thing to do, and we can obey in anticipation of God's blessing. As a retired person, perhaps living on a fixed income, perhaps struggling with health issues or paying doctor's bills or having a friend who's struggling, don't lose sight of the fact that we serve a gracious God who rewards obedience. Obey him in anticipation of his blessing. As a member of this church, giving up your time, giving up your money, sometimes obedience is difficult. Sometimes it costs you. Give of yourself, give of your money, give of your time, invest in others, knowing full well that we serve a gracious God who rewards obedience. Obey him in anticipation of his blessing. The call to obey is a difficult one. It requires all our heart. It includes all our ways. But God, in his goodness, has made obedience easier. Sure, we should do the right thing because it's the right thing. But he pulls us in the right direction by rewarding obedience. So when you're pulled in different directions, when you don't want to obey, when it seems too costly, obey God in anticipation of his blessing. In the world of incentives, what's unique about the rewards, the incentives that God gives, is that they always pull us in the right direction. They always pull us towards what is good and true. He always leads us in the right path, the path of righteousness, goodness, truth, and love. All virtues that are good, apart from any reward. But God, in his goodness and his graciousness, rewards the very things that we should want in the first place. He trains us to love him and to love one another by rewarding what is right. He rewards obedience not simply so that we're morally reformed or externally obedient, but so that we'll be completely transformed in our beliefs, our attitudes, our affections, our actions, so that we learn to love what we should love. There were times growing up when my brother didn't understand why my parents had him do the things they had him do. He wasn't able to curse. He couldn't ask my mom for something that my dad had already said no to. He had to respect his elders. And for a while, he learned to obey to avoid the consequences of disobedience. But there came a time, thankfully, when he didn't need to be disciplined anymore. He wanted to listen to our parents because they were our parents. After being told so many times, "I'm doing this for your own good, and this hurts me more than it hurts you," he finally came to believe it. He knew that our parents loved him. He wanted to please them, not in some overachieving kind of way, but because of their relationship, because he loved them. By God's grace, the incentives of reward and punishment working through our parents transformed him so that he didn't need the carrots and the sticks anymore to push him to do what was right. There's nothing wrong with obeying God in anticipation of his blessing. Sure, we should do the right thing because it's the right thing. We should obey God. We should worship him because he is God. He is worthy of our worship. But God, in his overwhelming kindness, gives us another reason. He actually rewards the things that we should be doing anyway. So when obedience is difficult, allow the certainty that God rewards obedience to guide you, to pull you in the right direction. He rewarded the Israelites for their obedience. He rewards us for our obedience. Without fail, the worth of the reward far exceeds the cost of obedience. Would you pray with me? Father, I thank you that in your overwhelming kindness, as wisdom calls out to us, as you call us to obey you, we can do the right thing, not simply because it's right, although that should be a good enough reason. But in your kindness, you give us another reason. You call us to obey. You pull us in the right direction by rewarding obedience. I pray that we would respond to you, the work of your Spirit in our lives, that your incentives would guide us, that we would trust you more, that we would see you as the good, gracious God that you are. I thank you, Father, and it's in your Son's name that I pray. Amen.